have 8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting, and we'll start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Thiemann. Consent agenda. One is the general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held September 14, 2016. Number three, approve all claims through September 28, 2016 in the amount of $504,175.02. Accept claim number 16090276 to Beatrice... Beatrice, who?
Sorry.
You have it later. Beatrice Lawn Care. Okay.
Sorry.
Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $523.75 and claim number 16090364 to R.L. Thiemann, Inc. in the amount of $14,006.72 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specifications and call for bids on a 2016-2017 snow removal for the courthouse, the sheriff, and the jail area, the veterans office, and parking lots. Bids to be opened October 12th at 9:15 a.m. Approve receiving treasurer's list of delinquent taxes on parcels of real estate in the county which remain unsold for want of bidders. Approve declaring a 1981 Ford E350 Econoline Type 2 ambulance with 61,034 miles, 1FTJS 34LOBHA 50177 as surplus and calling for bids. Bids to be opened on October 26, 2016 at 9:30 a.m. Approve utility permit number 1055 to Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. to place approximately 5 miles of new fiber cable on county and township roads. We'll plow 2,162 feet of cable starting at the east edge of Pickerel in the south ditch, 5 foot inside the right-of-way line to South 5th Drive. We'll plow in 3 miles going south, four feet deep, 10 feet west of center of road, west shoulder to Hackberry Road, and then plow in 1.5 miles west to Highway 77, 4 foot deep, 10 foot north of center of road and north shoulder of road. We'll bore 6 feet below flow line on all culverts and bridges. And this will be located in the northeast fourth of section 27, northwest and southwest fourth of section 26, northwest and southwest fourth section 25T-5 north, range 6 east in the northwest and southwest fourth section 2, southeast and southwest fourth section 3, Township 4 North, Range 6 East. Entertain a motion to approve consent agenda.
I would move to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Thiemann. Question?
Item 6, does that have anything to do with those warrants or?
There's another agenda item down below for the distress warrant report.
So this won't negate any of those or anything?
No.
What about extension office number 5, snow removal? Where would they be? I can't remember where they're included.
Do we usually have extension office on there?
This is what we normally have.
Extension office does their own separately.
They did their own.
Okay, just so. Extension office does their own snow removal. It's like they're mowing. Okay.
We've never been instructed to put anything.
I know, but I get calls.
Okay.
I'm not saying right or wrong. I just
no.
I just,
I mean that's what they're doing. Okay.
Any more questions? If not, vote 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 16092 76 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $532.75. Claim number 16090364 to R.L. Thiemann, Inc. in the amount of $14,006.76. Total amount of claims approved through September 28, 2016 will then be $518,705.49. Entertain a motion to approve these.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. And both of these are Eric Tiemann's companies, so that's why they're a separate agenda item. Questions? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. We've had some people visit with us about a petition they had going around that they concerning the Beatrice 6, and this is at this time is where they'll need to make those comments. One quick thing on later on, we have a discussion item on petition process as it relates to planning and zoning guidelines, referring mainly to our special use permit we had for the chicken farms. If you would like to make a comment on that, please wait till that time, and we'll have you come up then at that time and make your comments during that time for the chicken permit only. But otherwise, this is where anybody else would like to make comments, they sure can. And before we start, though, we usually just have one former state senator in our room, Denny. This morning we have three, which I don't know how often we've ever had that. We have George Burroughs from Adams up there and Norm Wallman from the Cortland area and Senator Byers. And I think we're kind of blessed for once to have three what we call former state senators of the 30th District. Thank you, guys. So thank you for your time and service and for being part of all this. So.
We're entirely welcome, aren't we?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And now, if I know that you were here yesterday, Monday, and visited with us a little bit, and this is where would be the portion of the meeting where you, anybody that would like to make comments on that petition you guys had or whatever, this is where we welcome you. So come on up. We need a name and address. And
I would defer to the former senators. Whichever one of them wants to make a statement first.
Yeah, right there. Okay. And Bill, we need your name and address.
George Bill Burroughs, Adams, Nebraska, 78412, State Highway 41. And I really want to thank you for the chance to express myself on this, because I know this 28-plus million-dollar award that's been given against this county is a tremendous thing to everybody in the county, and the property tax implications it has if things aren't different. And I believe that the state has an obligation in this. The prosecution is the state of Nebraska against the accused in a murder trial. The county acts on behalf of the state of Nebraska. The attorney general is the chief law enforcement officer of the state. The attorney general demonstrated his responsibility a few years ago when the attorney general took over a statutory rape case in Richardson County. A 19 or 20-year-old young man got his 14 or 15-year-old girlfriend pregnant. They went to Kansas and got married. This was approved by the parents. The county was not acting on the case. The attorney general prosecuted and sent the young man to prison. Surely the state's responsibility in a murder case is greater than in a statutory rape case where the victim had married the young man. I do believe that use of authority clearly demonstrates the responsibility of the state of Nebraska to oversee competent prosecution of any murder trial. The state could show its responsibility by awarding and providing sufficient funds to cover the cost awarded against our county. And I do believe the county board should be looking at and going after state funds. The governor's office has professed to be out for property tax relief. It's one place he can kick in some good ones by taking the lead and asking the legislature for the funds. And I think the county board ought to be pushing for this. The attorney general's office could also be helping the county on this. They have some responsibility in it. It looks to me like a whole lot more responsibility lies of the Attorney General's office in a capital murder case where you have six people being tried and supposedly the death penalty, which as a former supporter of it, I no longer support it because of its use as a tool by the county in getting convictions, which are the right problem right now of this $28+ million award to against the county of Gage. Now, I really believe we can do something on this, and the county can work at this. I am concerned that the sheriff and the attorney general, I've read in the paper, are both supporting the death penalty coming into use because it can be a tool of prosecution. And we have gotten the results of it being used as a tool of prosecution in replacing what would have been more competent prosecution, more competent investigation in the case, and getting a case that stuck instead of an award against this county. The state, if I applaud the legislature for its repeal of the death penalty, and as a former supporter of it, there are a couple things. This has happened, and it also happened with the a case up in Elmwood and Murdoch area. The Stock family was murdered, and they had a very similar problem, the use of the death penalty and some other bad prosecution procedures existed. And in that case, it actually proved they were innocent on it. In this case, I don't think innocence was proved. They proved that the prosecution was incompetent, and they did not prove adequately that they were guilty of the murder and being there. Someone else did the rape. That was proven by DNA. But I think it was a sad mistake to see this happen. And I think people have got to relook at their positions on the death penalty because of this and these cases and the fact that it is no longer working. Most developed nations in the world no longer carry the death penalty. I think almost without exception. And most of them give a problem if a person accused gets into their jurisdiction and they are subject to the death penalty in extradition, which is, in fact, it creates a safe haven for the person that gets into that country, at least for a period of time, to try to work out the extradition of that person. And I don't think we want people having a problem to get them back from Mexico or Canada because a murderer in this state, because we have the death penalty hanging over their head. And these are the two reasons, major reasons, that I have changed my position on the death penalty, because things are different than they were 40 or 50 years ago. And I think we have to live in today's world. We sure hope that we can get some help out of the county board in going after both help from the Attorney General's office and taking over the payment of that death penalty by the state. I think they've set a precedent that would justify putting up the money to cover an award that if it cannot be fought out in the courts. And I want to thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Not at this time, Bill.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank
you. I'd be glad to visit with any of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, esteemed board members. Thanks for letting me talk. And
I need your name and address.
Norm Wallman, 5696 Southwest 2nd Road. I live right off of 77. And I'm not going to go into the death penalty so much as I think I have always supported county issues in the legislature. And the state government balanced its books on the back of counties, taking away revenues like for jail reimbursement and things like that. And so I think also the state is responsible for this. And I would encourage you to go after the state of Nebraska. And I think they have a responsibility here. As you know, the governor has come out strong for the death penalty as well, as Bill said. And so let's fund it. If he wants to do this, he should fund it. And so I won't give any facts and figures here, but as we know, we pay a lot of property taxes here, and part of this is on account of our legal system. And so thank you very much.
Thank you, Norm. Anyone else?
Just so there's for the record, I'm Gregory C. Lobby, 312 North 10th Street, Wymore, Nebraska. I came to the clerk, Ms. Hill, Monday morning and provided her with a copy of the petition for state surety that was sent directly to the governor. And I think all of you have copies of that present with you now. If you don't, or if anyone is short that or the letter that was sent as a cover letter to that petition, we'll certainly be happy to provide that to you or anyone else that has an interest in it.
Thank you. Yes, and Mr. Lobby came Monday morning while we were in committee meeting, Ed, and we visited a little bit about this petition, and that's why it was held in this format for the public comment period. And I don't know if you guys have copies of it or not, but it's been forwarded on. If not, we'll get you some copies or whatever of their letter and their petition that they did send on to Governor Ricketts and some other appropriation committee and revenue committee and so on that they presented to us. So that is on record here. We had discussion about having an agenda item or not, and after consultation with Roger Harris, decided not to have this as an agenda item. We, the county, are still in legal proceedings over this issue, so we need to be careful, I guess, or make sure our comments are taken appropriately when we do comment. We feel it's very important that we do not want to jeopardize something on the legal end of this yet. But we thank you for coming and visiting with us and presenting those reports. Anybody else on their letters or the petition? Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else on public comment? Like I said, I know there are people here for our petition, the planning and zoning and thing, and we have an agenda item later, and after consultation with the board, we just soon have. If you'd like to talk, then you may talk at that time during that discussion. We'll have you come up then. So, next up on the agenda, committee reports, building and grounds, Winter Lights.
We are, as you can see, the workers are working on the exterior of the courthouse, and we'll be doing that for a period of time as they restore the exterior, and Lammel's been working on the bathrooms, getting those completed. So we're moving forward with those projects. That's all we have right now.
Dave visited with me out in the hallway this morning. He's back part-time, so he's doing good and glad to be back. So we're glad to have him back. Equalization.
Nothing new.
Okay. Finance, insurance.
Not a whole lot new. Went through claims. I know Supervisor Juergens likes to go through all the money he spent, so I'll let him do that.
I just normally pick out some of the larger amounts. $4,500 to the Village of Claytonia, quarterly EMS services. $46,280.32 to the City Beatrice for quarterly ambulance service. $10,000 City of Wymore for quarterly, fourth quarter EMS services. Ace Sand and Gravel Township Gravel Hauling, $26,062.41. Beatrice Concrete Sand and Gravel, $23,351.86. Midwest Sales and Service Culverts, $56,694.48, and I'll get into that later underneath where they're at and where they're at on those culverts later on in the road and bridge report. And RL Team and Construction, $14,006.72. County Gravel Hauling, Engage Area Growth Economic Development Funding, $37,500. Those are the large amounts in this 2-week period.
You jog my memory. If we look at the city of Wymoor fourth quarter, that initially, I believe, was declined. They filed a letter of appeal and explained the process that they go through. A lot of these EMS squads have a separate board. They have to get approval by their medical director. Then sometimes it has to go to the village a municipality to get approved, and it comes to us. So sometimes that creates a delay. So that's why that would have been in the fourth quarter of last year.
Don just informed me that there'll be the county employees insurance meeting will be the 19th.
Mm-hmm. We just got that scheduled yesterday.
Scheduled, and where?
October 19th at Risky's, same place.
At Risky's, okay.
Or 10:30 and 12:30 will be the two times two meetings.
And those are as much as anything for employees to ask questions and explain a little bit. And since we changed carriers basically this year with Cypress, I know there's been some questions about that. So that will hopefully they'll be there too, maybe,
yeah,
or not.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll be there to explain questions or ask.
I think somebody from a representative, if not Amber and Brad.
What time, Don? What time is it?
10:30 and 12:30 will be the two different meetings.
And 12:30.
That's a.m.
Okay.
A.m., yes.
Good. So let everybody else know, too. There'll be information coming out.
It'll come out in the paychecks, too.
Okay. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Emergency management side, we had last Wednesday or two Wednesdays ago on September 14th had a successful afternoon of drills that the emergency manager took the courthouse through. I think they had a chance to learn some things and they went through three different drills, and you know, it was a good opportunity for them to try out their procedures and everything and find out what does work and what doesn't work. As far as emergency management, that's pretty much all we discussed, other than the magic that we discussed, as Matt likes to call it, communications. Continued conversation there. Seems like it never stops. And then on the law enforcement side, the K-9 fund, it looks like, is at a little over $23,000, and I know that there has been a purchase of a dog, and I didn't know if Gus would want to give an update as to anything on the K-9 unit?
Good morning. As I mentioned to the committee Monday, I made the first partial payment on the animal. It's going to be purchased from a vendor down in Texas, and it's going to be between a Dutch Shepherd, a German Shepherd, or a Malinois. It depends on the handlers trainers try to match up the dog personality to the deputy's personality that's handling the dog. Should have that probably sometime here in Omaha next month. The training will start this year. We're going to work on the drug detection, narcotics, and tracking. And then in the spring next year, they'll come back and they'll train on detention, which is the toughest thing to train on. That's where the dog will go after you, bite you, take you down, and then stand down when he sees you're not resisting anymore. That's the toughest thing to train on, so they'll be working on that. Patrol car is in Omaha, getting transitioned over, hopefully be done by the end of the month or before. That was quite an undertaking, trying to cram that all into a pickup. We're trying to get by with what we had. And I guess that's pretty much where we are right now. We're in the process. We've ordered some of the items that the handler will need for the dog and for himself. So as Gary mentioned, we're close money-wise to where I'm going to be just about a break-even, probably a little over, but we're close. So shouldn't be a lot of tax dollars in it, if there's any at all. I'm waiting on one or two more grants coming, and I applied for, and then we'll go from there.
And you're taking volunteers for people to wear the bite suit, right, for demonstration?
I'm thinking some board people would be very good. Offer's always there.
Will you be able to bring that dog into the courthouse from time to time, just take it from floor to floor to see?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That, well, the schools, we're doing that now with other counties' dogs in the schools. We're getting requests on it, so we'll certainly be in the courthouse, and I'll bring it. When we get them all ready to go and train, we'll bring them in here and one board meeting and let you take a look. So.
Thanks, Gus.
Thanks, Gus. Road and Bridge.
As I mentioned before, Midwest Sales and Service culverts for $56,000. Those culverts are on site. And North 5 Grant is done. North 11 Elm is done. And right now they're working on North 10 Elm. These are a fairly large culvert. I talked to the dirt crew last night, and we're looking at, and I didn't really understand exactly how it was, but we're looking at 10,000 pounds usually just for one of these culverts, the installation of them, to even to get them moved into that location. And with that package, and I didn't quite fully understand it either, comes all the head walls, the sheet piling, and everything. It's all delivered to site. And then taken from there. I mean, it's quite extensive. It isn't just throwing a culvert in the ground and leaving. So they informed me they were going to try by Friday night to have this third large culvert installed. It'll be closed because there's a lot of work to do in that location. But that's what that money is, and that's where it's being used, and that's where they're at as far as insulation on those. The other main thing is Hickory Road. As everybody knows, Hickory Road was opened last Friday, correct? Friday afternoon. There was the road was getting used. Barricades were getting moved, and so Galen made the decision to, as soon as he could, get the signage up, temporary signage. There's some other stuff to finish up, a lot of small things to get done. But the road is open for traffic. It's been a long time coming. I personally would like to thank this full board for their support throughout this whole time to get this done. It's been, and Myron's had to bear the brunt of it on a lot of these things because there's been back and forth like everything else, delays, this and that, but it's finally done. We have a crossing to get finished up yet, hopefully this fall, but don't bank on it. Let's put it that way. We're talking with the railroad. And also Galen. Galen's been an integral part in this too. He's done an outstanding job, like always. And if you have driven the road, it's such a huge improvement, right, Gary? Yes. I mean, I've had more comments on that road than anything I've ever had from people saying, "Boy, that's nice." I mean, so anyway. We'll get off of that. We all understand about the road.
I'll make a couple quick comments on it, Matt can too. The railroad crossing, they have put a lot of barricades up out there, signs, and just so the public knows, it's not the same as the rest of the road. They've put screenings in there and made it as good as it can. We're still visiting with them. I got an email back from the lady on Tuesday morning that she's going to run down the paperwork, hopefully. So we'll see. We'll see when that railroad gets done. The other thing, there are signs up there. Believe it or not, that road is 55 miles. So 55 mile an hour speed limit. So just let people know, Gus wanted to hire another old deputy to patrol that, and we told him no. So once you get on it, you understand why. It's quite a road.
That's how I was going to reiterate the speed. I followed Myron, and he was just gone.
Yeah.
And
so yeah.
It's a very, very smooth, fast road, quite frankly. So it is, the speed's going to be an issue. Yep.
Go ahead.
Any other comments on anybody? I mean, it's been a long time coming. Moving on. Galen had an update on the Adams Northwest Bridge. Bid letting tentatively will be on 12/14/17. as everybody's heard, the state has a new bridge program. Galen has got together with Mark Manilli's office and have sent in structurally 14 deficient bridges that would make this list that they're looking for, and has submitted to the bridge NRD program. So hopefully that'll turn out well, and we'll get some of these antiquated bridges replaced. The last item, and we might get to it, might not, but I want to talk about this a little bit. I have to leave at 10 o'clock, so I want to talk about this a little bit. Everybody has a letter here concerning 112 South from 77 to Highway 8. The state has let that road deteriorate so bad that they've decided to... They had three options when I spoke to them. They could close the road, they could lower the weight limits, or lower the speed limit. They decided to lower the speed limit. This road has a lot of heavy, heavy truck traffic on it going south into Hanover, or just going south and north both. There's a lot of truck traffic on it. My concern was that what's happening, and I know what's happening, but I was told that truck traffic is now being shifted to the Odell Highway, which when I spoke to the State Department of Roads concerning this, they said, no, that's not going to happen. Well, I know what's happening. I said, what you're going to have, instead of one shitty road, you're going to have two of them now, because it's going to tear up the Odell Highway. But they said I'm dead wrong. So anyway, in that, Galen, I think, did an excellent job. He's drafted a letter to send to Mr. Thomas Goodbarn. He's our District 1 engineer. Mary Gerdes, the commissioner of District 1. Kyle Schoenweiss, Department of Roads director, and Senator Baker. I would like to have this, whoever would consider it, signing this letter and forward it on to those parties involved and see if they can't. The contention is that this road's going to be left at that limits for the next 2 years. It's just, you would just have to drive it to understand what I'm saying. And then I have another petition here that I'm going to, John has a few, and I've got a few, that I want to place an area of businesses in that area and have the individual sign it that are in agreement with this, that we're going to do more damage by letting this road set than to move it up a little bit and try to get it repaired. So that's what this is, and Galen drafted this and did an excellent job.
And this is on the agenda later for discussion.
It is, that's, and Myron, and the reason I'm bringing it up now, because I have to be gone at 10 o'clock. I just wanted to tell everybody my views on it.
Yeah.
And so that's what that is. And that's basically all I think I needed to say about that for right now. For right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up while you were here, because now we know exactly how you feel about it.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? Next up on our agenda item, and if people like agenda, they're usually over on that table. We forgot to tell people, but they're right in front of the press if somebody would like an agenda. It is discussion on petition process as it relates to the planning and zoning guidelines. And since our vote last meeting, I've had quite a few people contact me, and then the board all did get a letter from Vicki Jedlicka concerning the end of that meeting. And after conversation with some of the board members and Roger, I decided to put on here a discussion on this petition process that is as it relates to the planning and zoning. And I guess before we'll have Roger make some comments, but before all that, anybody that would like to make a few comments on that now, instead of the public hearing, we'll have you come up now and make your comments here now. We need your name and address again, like we always do. But if you have some comments that you'd like to make, concerning this part of what our discussion will be about, you're more than welcome to come forward and make some comments now.
I'm Vicki Jedlicka. I live at 1234 South 25th Road, Cortland. I sat through the Gage County Board of Supervisors September 14th public hearing for Roy Mulder's special use permit 20163, listening to many people and at least one supervisor mention the need to follow Gage County's process and regulations for a special permit. However, it seems to me that the Board of Supervisors did not follow their own process, specifically in case of protest signed by more than 20% of adjacent landowners, triggering needing a favorable vote of 5 members. See Zoning Regulation, Article 6.2, the final paragraph. During the public hearing, Sheila Day presented a stack of petitions to Chair Myron Dorn, and he had her give them to County Clerk Don Hill. The petition clearly states at the top, petition to stop special use permit for poultry operation. This petition is to stop special use permit number 20163. The petition was signed by far more than the required 20% of adjacent landowners. After the board's majority vote to approve Mulder's permit, I asked, what about the special vote because of the protest? County Attorney Roger Harris responded to the effect of the proper process wasn't followed, so it is not legally binding and a special vote isn't required. Early during the public hearing, Sheila Day had explained during her testimony that she had called County Clerk Don Hill and was told there is no special form or process. So I asked Harris what was the proper process, and he replied he wasn't going to give free legal advice. I will point out at the time, Roger Harris hadn't even looked at the petition. Apparently, he has since told a reporter that it didn't have addresses on it. It does have addresses. After the meeting, and the reason I'm speaking today, I wanted to know if the Board of Supervisors has discussed as a board, before the September 14th meeting, their own regulations in case of protest against special use permit. Does the board have a clear understanding of what that proper process or mechanism is? Shouldn't that protest mechanism be public knowledge? And if the county clerk is not who the public calls to find out that process, who is? How and when does the board decide a special permit requires a majority versus the two-thirds vote? I will point out that the Zoning Regulation Article 6.2 itself does not specify a specific method, process, or deadline, only that a protest must be signed. I think the Board of Supervisors should discuss as a group your own regulation process, and if the September 14th vote approving Roy Mulder's special permit should have required a favorable vote of 5 members. And if so, how will the board rectify the situation? I'm not suggesting the board re-vote for the special permit. I am asking that you implement the final step of your own process.
Anybody else? Hold it. We're coming to
Chivalry is not dead.
Jennifer Oberg, 3987 East Apple Road. I'm actually here today. Sheila Day wrote a letter here, and she couldn't make it, so I'm just here to read it for her. When we first decided to do a petition to protest a poultry farm or facility, I called the courthouse and talked to Don Hill to see if we needed to do anything to get approval for it from the county. After some research, she said they did not have anything and to go ahead. After the second petition, we heard some people were asking if the petition was legal. I called the Secretary of State, John Gale's office, and spoke to Katie Swink, who is the division manager, who told me it is a legal petition. Only petitions for an issue on a ballot that is to be voted on by the public need to be issued by the courthouse of that county. She said if anyone has any questions, they can call her. This is signed by Sheila Day. I have copies if everybody wants a copy of it. This was, you guys received a copy of our petition. What I'm gathering is we were told that County Attorney Roger Harris mentioned there was a lot of P.O. box numbers on here. That might have been the second petition that we had with a 220 people on it. This third petition that we turned in was the people within a mile radius of the facility that received letters from the county. There is no P.O. box numbers on here. These are addresses on here. I guess what we're saying is from our perspective, we think there was a mistake made. We feel like, you know, everybody makes mistakes, but we got to own up to it and make it right with the public. So we ask the board to make it right. Would you guys like to have copies of this?
Yes.
This was Sheila.
You have enough for everybody a copy?
Yes, she did.
Pass them around and go into Dawn. And that petition, too, during our conversation, I don't remember, with Sheila or I don't know, Vicki or somebody. Somebody thought that we didn't keep that petition. But, no, when it was handed to Dawn put a little sticky tab on it and which number it came in and what order. She does have copy. I mean, she has that petition over there. So we do have that petition. It may have not looked like it during that meeting or whatever, but no, that was entered at the same as everything else. And every time she'd tell me, like, this is number whatever, entered that day at a public hearing. So it,
like I said, there is no P.O. box numbers on here.
Make a motion to submit this to public record.
Bauman has made a motion and seconded by Hill to make this enter this also on public record, this letter from Sheila Day. Vote 7-0. Okay, now.
Harvey Hartwig, 4211 East Apple Road, Cortland, Nebraska. And I would just like to refer to these guidelines that your attorney told you to consider before the last vote. And there's seven guidelines that are supposed to be complied with to vote for this complex being built. Number three is not be detrimental to the adjacent property. And I cannot, and for the life of me, say that this won't be somewhat detrimental to the adjacent property. The other one is that I don't think it complies with is not tend to depreciate the value of the surrounding structures or property. There's a third one that's questionable, but I just wanted to point out that your attorney advised you to consider these guidelines before you voted last time. The other thing that I believe is if it did take five votes for this to carry because of the petitions and things, that the proposal should have been defeated already at the last meeting. And therefore, that should be final. Thank you.
Just so everybody understands, this isn't a public hearing either. This is just an agenda item for discussion so that some of these things we won't comment on or whatever because it's not a public hearing or whatever and stuff. So don't take it wrong if we're not firing back questions or whatever. So, Norm?
Thank you again. Norm Wallman, 5696 Southwest 2nd Road. And I've been listening to my friends and neighbors on this issue, and I'm a farmer as well. And these petitions and things like this, you know, I think you have to look at that and see what people think. People expect responsive government, and a petition process is something very important, I feel, to the residents of this county or to the residents of the state. We have a pretty good petition policy in Nebraska. And we can use it as a state or as a county or whatever. So I would urge you to think about that. And as I'm an ag producer, but I still think we're a minority. So we should be good neighbors, too. Thank you.
Jeff Oberg, 3987 East Apple Road, Cortland, Nebraska. I just want to say that our petition 2016-3, all these addresses are verifiable, and there is well over the 20% of either adjacent property owners or the area of lots affected, which includes the letters that you sent out to the mile. I also want to say the sign-in sheet that was used at that hearing is also considered a form of protest, and there was more than 20% of the people in there, the adjacent property owners, that had signed that as well. And that has been checked with the Secretary of State, and they said that is also a form of protest.
Anyone else care to comment?
Dave Atkins, 4683 East Apple Road. I believe there was clearly evidence before you on September 14th, 2016, that more than 20% of adjacent landowners were protesting the application of a special use permit. Therefore, a supermajority was required of the application under 6.2 of the zoning regulations. There's nothing in the zoning regulations that requires a specific procedure or submission to protest. There's also nothing in the zoning regulations that requires a protest to be submitted in any specific form. I appreciate your willingness to revisit the board's failure to consider the adjacent landowner's protest of the application on September 14th, 2016. Not something I want to do here, but if the board's decision to approve application is allowed to stand, I will be forced to seek legal counsel and seek a judicial review of your decision. Thank you.
Anyone else care to comment? And part of the reason we're having the comment here is instead of having it at the public comment period earlier, I felt it would be better to have it right now so it pertained more to when we're having our discussion. So, and it is not a public hearing. It is not where anybody had to sign in or be sworn in and stuff. But anybody is allowed to talk, and this is I look at it as this is part of our public comment where you can make comments about this issue in front of us.
I'm Bill Burrows, 17852 State Highway 41, Adams, Nebraska. And I thank you for this opportunity again. The former law, before this zoning came into place, allowed a property owner to sue and collect from anybody that came in. The grandfather clause took over. He who was there first, he had the edge in the court always. The law provided that you could seek damages and get them if you could actually prove damages by somebody coming in with a big feedlot next to you or vice versa. Or if you built next to it, you were out of luck if the feedlot was there. But this changed the situation, and we became a livestock-friendly county, which can be considered a people-unfriendly county. And I hate to see that happen to my county. I go by very frequently into Tecumseh, one of these chicken places, and most of the time it doesn't smell. Most of the time. But on certain days when you go by there, you wouldn't want to be living anywhere near it because it'd drive you up the wall. And I think if someone goes out and it doesn't smell, when they have these chickens rotting in these piles, why, there are points when it is really excruciating. And I'd like to bring that up because I think some people make their decision on the basis of seeing a facility. They don't see any odors, and at that time, maybe there weren't any. So I'd like the board to look at it. I think these people have a real problem because it'll be very difficult for them to sue for damages if it knocks $20,000 or $30,000 off their home value when they go to sell it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else? Okay. The reason I had put this on here was, like I mentioned earlier, visited with some of the board members after getting Vicki's letter, sent a visit with Roger several times about this also. We put on there for discussion. I want everybody to understand we're not going to have a vote or anything on this or make any decision here today because this is a discussion only. If something like that were to happen, it would have to come as an agenda item at our next meeting. Correct? Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was hoping we could have free and open discussion, but with respect to Mr. Atkins' comments regarding potential litigation, I don't think we should discuss this any longer. I think there's an opportunity there, but there's opportunity for legal action. We probably shouldn't talk about this at all. We probably need to go into a closed session to discuss. And I guess I would refer to counsel.
There's nothing to discuss in closed session at this juncture. I think Myron had simply wanted to address why I said the supermajority didn't apply. It's a very simple process as far as constitutional law is everyone's entitled to due process, and that's basic fairness. You can't come in with a petition and drop it and say, there it is. That's not due process. And, the Secretary of State, God bless him, does a great job with election stuff and his responsibility. I didn't realize he's now in charge of county zoning, and I would gather he's not. So that's the basic premise. Everyone, including the applicant, no matter what side of the fence you're on, and land use issues necessarily, unfortunately, put people against each other. That's why we have zoning rules. And you notice today, we don't have the other side presented. Well, it wasn't a debate today. It was simply the board saying, we'll give you an explanation, very brief, because I have to be careful. He's rattling the cage that he's going to litigation. Fine. He's got that right. It's in the zoning book. And I don't have any problem with that. I'm just telling you, due process dictated my decision. Okay, and that's so you understand where I'm coming from. We can disagree, and I understand it, Mr. Hardwick. You've got an issue, and I truly understand your issue. But I'm just telling you, due process requires that there be adequate notice so that everybody has an opportunity to present all sides. That wasn't afforded in that situation. I would also note, as Myron had indicated, there was an extensive hearing on this, both at the P&Z level and at the board level. And actually, there was two times it was done. And I'm not – that's just the way it was. There was two applications, but they were very similar. So obviously, everything was heard more than once. And Senator Burroughs, the odor was certainly something that came up and was discussed extensively by both sides. So, again, I'll quit talking. That's just – so you understand where I'm coming from. It's just that simple. Okay? And if somebody would have just called up, Ms. Jadika, I'm sorry, I'm butchering your name, I would have certainly told you that petition had to be up so we could verify. Just because somebody comes in and puts it down and says, there's the 20%, that doesn't mean it's so.
So you're saying you're who we need to talk to, not
Don Hill? No, I didn't say that.
Come forward.
Just saying, I'm on the fourth floor.
Come forward if you want to say something and identify yourself.
No, I'm not going to engage in discussion.
Okay.
I'm just saying, nobody called me about anything. Don and I did talk about what we would require in this given situation. And we did that after the first application because there was a petition. And that one, quite frankly, had P.O. boxes and stuff like that. And again, I'm not being critical, but if somebody would have at least got that to us, we could have verified it was within the parameters that is required by our zoning regs. So,
any more comments from anybody on the board? Any of the board members? I will say one other thing too. Part of Mr. Atkins, and appreciate your comment, but part of Matt's comment is correct. When we are faced with a pending possible whatever suit or whatever, then this board here, their comments are not near as freely given, not as often because of possible litigation. And we refer those then to our county attorney because he is our representation for this board legally, and he will be handling those then and stuff. So just so everybody understands that, it's not we have to be more, I guess, careful for what we say because of possible pending litigation. So thank you, everybody. I did not put this on the agenda to make people more upset or anything. Put this on there because at the end of that meeting, I guess there was a lot of question about some comments and some questions that were asked, and we didn't handle that very good. So now hope this was meant to help. This wasn't meant to set it back. So thank you. We will move on the agenda. Present the Gage County. Oh, no. Terry's still here. We're going to move up. Do you have a few minutes yet? You guys weren't. Oh, Don said you might be in a hurry. Okay.
No, we're done now. We're good.
You're good. Okay, good. We're going to move up on the agenda. The letter to approve or disapprove the letter to the State Department of Roads, the District Supervisor of Department of Roads, pertaining to the condition and speed limit on Highway 12.
Move to approve. Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. Discussion. Everybody should have that letter. Did have it. Oh, here it is. Oh, that's not the one. I think.
Should this be on your letterhead, though?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, Don asked if we want this on Gage County's letterhead. And this right now is on Gage County Highway Department. I think this should come from the Gage County Supervisor's letterhead.
Yeah, yeah.
This is on the
highway. Yeah.
Thiemann, are we able to get that and you get that letter to Don, and then she could put it on our Gage County Supervisor's letterhead letter?
Well, that is the letter.
The highway department.
Can Becky or whoever has it on the computer, if she forwards it up, we can print it out on the Board of Supervisors.
Letterhead.
Stationary,
letter. That's coming from the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Yep. Letterhead. Okay. Well, how can we sign that?
If you can, I'll see if I can get hold of Becky. Did Becky have it on her computer?
I guess in 6 months.
Okay, I'll tell her to send it out.
So that we can sign it today?
Yeah.
Or doesn't it matter, you think?
No, I'm fine with that. Okay. We don't need to change motion.
No, we don't need to change motion or nothing. That's just the letter that we're going to send on up there.
Okay.
We
got
that letter. Did everybody have a chance to read that? I agree with Galen's comments. Very good. Thank you. And I think this is something that really pertains to the roads of the county that we need to...
Well, the issue is, I mean, it's going to cost the county taxpayers. Because of negligence on that road by the state, it's going to cost the county taxpayers when that road is ruined, and repair work has to be done a lot sooner than normal. I mean, it's it makes common sense to me. So I and as I stated before, I've got some sign-up sheets, let's call them that. I don't want to call them petition. Yeah. Sign-up sheets that people can, and we'll post them in that area, that people can, you know, say, I agree with this, you know, an address and everything we need. And then we'll, when those are, if they are filled, we'll forward those on. And I think I stated before, we'll go over it again. Galen has put traffic counters out on the roads now. I think it was done Thursday, Galen? Thursday? And so we'll leave them set the proper amount and just see what the truck and traffic are. We have I think data from that section from 2 years ago, probably. Roughly 2 years ago, I think they were put on that area, and so we'll be able to see if there is a difference, like I contend.
Maybe they're fixing that, though. It says road construction in that area. They should have to take those signs down too. That's a bunch of bunk. Put road construction signs up, lower the speed limit.
And then fine, the biggest thing is fines double. Well, fines double.
Check the mileage on his truck.
I don't drive it anymore, Bauman.
He's changed.
Bauman, I don't drive it anymore. I change my traffic pattern. I go up the Odell Highway.
So you're tearing the road up.
Well, good day.
Yeah, you're the one
to
write a letter about. Yeah.
Good day.
Yes.
Before Gus says something, but honestly, though, Terry, I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, if it was me and the state's not going to fix it, I would do the same thing. I would drive down the Odell Blacktop just the same.
Weight limits are the same on either road.
Yeah.
But the county road is not designed like a state road to carry that kind of traffic. You know, occasional, it's going to carry it, sure.
Yeah.
But it's just not the main, it's not designated for heavy truck traffic, and that's what's happening.
Yeah. So. Gus, go ahead.
Well, I'd spoke to Terry on this. I didn't think he knew about it, and he already did. But the traffic is certainly, my guys can see it. It's over on Odell Blacktop. It's there. You can see the increase. 112 has always been a cutoff for the truckers who are overweight, have been for 43 years I've been around, because they go through and split the difference east and west of us on the scales. So that 112 has always carried a lot of truck traffic, whether it was a good road or not. And that's why it's looking like it is now, I'm sure, over the years. But it was. I called it because I had people complaining to me about it, so I thought it was on construction myself. And they said that was the master plan and isn't set up for two more years, just like Terry mentioned. So it's going to have an absolute detrimental effect on us on the county side. So,
whatever. Well, look at how we designed and built Hickory Road, because we knew the truck traffic it was going to carry versus an asphalt road.
And no shoulders on that blacktop.
Shoulders,
either.
Doesn't have the width.
I would even be okay with them using the Odell Blacktop for 2 years, as long as they're going to repair it and fix it.
That isn't going to happen.
Sure.
Gus?
Yes, sir.
I think this is the first time I can say I completely agree with you.
It's rolling in bridges. What do you expect?
Okay, everybody should have had it. I hope everybody had an opportunity to read it. We're just going to put the different letterhead up there so that it looks, not looks, but it so that it, an emphasis is this is a concern for the whole county, and this is I think a step we definitely need to take so that the condition of some of the county blacktops that we're responsible for, that we can maintain them longer, and there's a real question here about that happening.
John? It'll certainly change the traffic on these roads, and if it isn't going to 112 isn't going to be done for 2 years, in 2 years that Odell Road will be gone. And it won't be a normal overlay. It'll be a complete redo with money that the county don't have.
Yeah. You bet. Vote. 7-0 in favor.
Back to a new one printed.
Yeah.
I'd like.
They're printing one.
I probably got to leave in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And if not, stop across.
And that has place on there for all of our county board members' signatures. So, next up, present the Gage County Tourism Quarterly Report. Oh, hold it. We're going to have a five-minute break.
You said you had time, Laura.
Byron.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll resume the meeting at 9:55 on the clock. Next up on the agenda is present the Gage County Tourism Quarterly Report.
I think you guys need more chocolate after everything that's happening here. I kind of noticed your jars today are kind of empty, so
yeah,
need more chocolate. Anyway, thank you all this morning for kind of shuffling your schedule around to accommodate us. I appreciate it. This is going to be short, sweet, and to the point. If you have questions, please ask. As you know, Abby has left us, but I'm really excited because Lisa has joined us. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to have somebody that's going to stay around a while, somebody that absolutely knows Gage County, knows a lot of people and connections in Gage County. And I know this is a whole new world for Lisa. And, you know, unfortunately, she's come into some fast and furious things that are happening, but we're going to get through it. Our advertising dollars, tourism continues to grow and be great. The best way we track our numbers is by those that sign the guest book at Homestead National Monument. Not everybody signs the guest book, but visitation is good. One of the things, and I don't know if actually, during the swim trials, we had an ad in the swim trials book and the hot sheets. We were the only tourism entity that did that. And Mark reported that there were people from the swim trials that actually came to Homestead National Monument during that time when they had downtime. I don't know if Greg Monahan or Meehan came or not, but as reported in the CNN News, and I gave you the quote, he talked to his girls' swim team about staking their claim and talked about the Homestead Act. Not sure how he would know about all of that unless he's a huge history buff, unless he came or somebody on the team came. during that time. So we're taking credit for his quote, and they staked their claim, and they did their own little homesteading piece in Rio as they went on and did the Olympics. I was pretty excited about that because I think it brings another piece of people thinking about homestead and the Homestead Act. We are every week getting inquiries on coming to Beatrice for the eclipse. I'm really excited about it. One of the things I wanted to share, and I got to get it right, the Minnesota Astronomical Society group is one of the largest in the country. Because of our ad in Sky and Telescope, they have reached out to me, and I know several of those members already have hotel reservations at the Holiday Inn, and they're looking at bringing a good majority of their club to Beatrice and to Homestead National Monument for the eclipse. I'm counting that as a win. I'm really excited about it. And when I asked him about, you know, how come Beatrice, he said, well, I saw your ad in Sky and Telescope. That's the only reason we knew about Beatrice. So I just wanted to share that to show that it actually advertising does work. Check out the websites. Really excited. And even before Lisa came on, we talked about the Chamber and Tourism and Gage County Fairgrounds. We're partnering. We're marketing them as the place to camp because they're going to take reservations. People want to make reservations. We're going to be changing it so that they can, for reservations at the fairground, we're going to let them call the tourism number and make those reservations. To me, it makes sense. With Lisa on board, it makes more sense. We can help do that. And then we're going to be marketing races on Friday night. We're talking about music and a street dance. And Lisa and I have not gotten all the things planned. On Saturday, we're going to do movies on Sunday, and we're going to have the event on Monday. And so that committee continues to meet. I'm really excited. I've been to Pickerel a couple times talking about the eclipse, and they're coming on board. They're going to have a viewing site, so it's looking like we're going to have four in the county that I know of today: Pickerel, Virginia, Homestead, and the fairgrounds. And those are the things that are going to be monitored, so I'm really excited about that. And it's getting closer and closer, and so I think that's going to help. Questions?
I'll make a quick comment. I was at a meeting a week ago, and there was nine counties there, and one or two of those counties also made, I mean, they're just starting on and stuff. So my only thought is visit with them so everybody kind of knows a little bit
how
everybody's going, how they're going or doing it and stuff, because they, his comments were, too, they're starting to get plans together to really promote it.
Right.
And stuff, just like I said, you guys have been doing it for 6 months already or more.
Right, we have. And I am going down to Marysville. I received, about 3 weeks ago, a call from the Marysville newspaper asking about the eclipse, and they said, well, you know, we have hotel rooms down here. Would you be willing to send people down here, you know, to partner? And I said, well, you understand that Marysville is going to have only about a minute or so of totality, but you're going to have some. And they said, we are? And I said, you are? And 30 minutes later, I received a call from the Visitors Committee chair, and I'm going to go visit with them next week about the eclipse. Because it does affect the entire region out here.
Now, you did notice how Berkshire Hathaway handled hotel rooms for their annual meeting.
I did not pay attention.
You need to look in the Lincoln Journal Star. They have a report on that, I think. Maybe it was the Omaha World Herald, but I think it was the Lincoln Journal Star over the weekend.
I'll have to look at that.
A huge thing.
Yeah.
8,000 rooms.
Yes. And we are partnering with Lincoln. We've already have that partnership in place. And Lincoln did join the coalition, and Omaha did join the very long community, a statewide coalition, to put money into that marketing. Because of that website, when you go to the Beatrice page of that website, that will continue to populate with information as soon as we have all of our events solidified. I am getting hits from that website, people looking at Beatrice. I did get one unique call. A lady from New York called. She wanted to know if we had any bus tours planned, and so we're looking at that as a possibility. Maybe a bus tour that includes Omaha Lincoln with other things to do and then coming to Beatrice for the eclipse. So there's a lot of things that we're looking at still and trying to put all this together. So I still think it's going to be a big deal, and I'm praying that it doesn't rain.
No. You're good.
Huh?
What? What? Well, don't mention that.
There's a website, eclipse2017.org.
Yes. I've been on it a lot.
There's 327 days left until the eclipse.
How many hours and minutes?
You do the math.
You can find that on our website.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of...
There is a lot. Also working with this coalition, or working with a PR firm out of Lincoln. And I ended up being the lead spokesperson for this coalition. And so we're looking at several different stories that we're going to put out, obviously in Nebraska, but we've talked about Minneapolis and Sioux Falls and Des Moines and a few other, you know, communities in the area. And probably in the next month, 6 weeks, we're going to have a big press announcement in Lincoln, and I will go to that press announcement as I'm kind of the spokesperson for the state when it comes to that, which I think then gives us a little bit more plug and publicity if I'm doing that work.
Are you selling your knickknacks and stuff on the
website
yet?
We don't have anything developed yet, but we are.
I'd say as soon as you get that stuff ready, you know, if you could start pushing that stuff out sooner than later, because some people will buy that stuff ahead of time. And then
I know. Yeah.
Unless you have to have something. You have something planned to sell that stuff on.
We're going to do T-shirts, and I decided that Homestead already has their stuff developed. It's all around Homestead National Monument, and kind of talking with the Chamber Board and a few other people, we're going to go with a humorous twist. And right now, we're marketing "Come Get Mooned" in Beatrice, Gage County. And our T-shirts are going to say, "I got mooned" in Beatrice and Gage County. People want humor, and you got to laugh about it. So that's the themes. Come get mooned. So
I chuckled that it was for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and it's this big of a deal.
I'm just worried about Laura after this. You're going to be so let down after.
You know, there is going to be a, now what do I do kind of a yes.
Well, you got to remember, though, it's not just 2 minutes. This is
a weekend full.
Well, but I mean, yeah. even there's partial.
Yes.
Even, you know, it's not just 2 minutes that this viewing and everything's going
to
be going on.
It starts about 11:30 in the afternoon, and people are going to watch the moon start to block the sun.
Don't you go blind if you look at that?
That's why we have the glasses that everybody needs to wear. And the chamber will be having glasses, and we're going to sell them to the community for a really reasonable price, less than you can buy them online anywhere.
I hope these aren't the glasses that still make you go blind.
They have to be, I mean, certain glasses, or you need to wear a welder's helmet. So... Yep.
You might have seen me shaking my head and smiling, kind of laughing. I still remember the first time that Laura brought this up at the visitors, and I'm like, this lady is crazy. You know, but I mean, here you're talking about these people, and it, you know, the more and more I, you know, we talked about it and you think about it, and it's like, you know, I think she's on to something here. There's people, I mean, you talked about the guy that jumped in the jet and flew to Russia and watched the darn thing and turned around and flew right back, and it's like, man, they're out there. So
right.
It's just
there were that, and in that group, there were enough people to charter two jets that flew with the eclipse across the ocean. So you think about two huge jets that people filled to watch this fly, trace it across the ocean.
Each their own, I suppose. Is there anything, as they're asking about bus tours, or, you know, if you've had questions on that, anything we could do for a short amount of time, maybe that the chamber could take care of, or someone like that, for some of our local stuff? I mean, just looking around the room, you know, just some of our local attractions that we have that they could see while they're here, because if people do travel here after that epic 2 minutes.
Yes.
You know, if we could showcase our area.
And that's what we're hoping to do the weekend before, is have events and showcase our area. You know, Pickerel's going to have events and those kinds of things. There are people that, the enthusiast, I found out, because when I was talking to the Minnesota people, they don't want a bus. They're all driving their cars because they're bringing big telescopes. Because the one question he asked was, how much room do you have? And I said, well, Homestead has 60 acres, and there's another 60 acres if we need it. He goes, oh, good, that's enough room. Because they're bringing big, and he said, we'll all drive our own cars, and we'll all come separately. Because they have big telescopes they're bringing with them. and they'll do some stargazing and some other things. I mean, honestly, it blows my mind. And because my daughter's up in Minnesota and I have other reasons to go, I said, if you want me to come up and talk to one of your meetings, I will. And he said, I might take you up on that offer. See, then I can go see my daughter, too, so I have other reasons to go. So who knows? And the state coalition, we are marketing to families. We're not marketing to the enthusiasts. That's already been taken care of. So that website is strictly geared toward families and people that are just coming to watch. I know that Beatrice Public Schools is going to be in session. I also know there are people, parents, that are keeping their kids out of school that day. I've had at least 10 phone calls from people in the Omaha area that will be bringing their families down that day. And when they come, that's a great opportunity for us then to market, for them to come back and spend other time with us. But people are going to want to come, and they're going to come where it's closest, but have a great experience. And so we're trying to sell our experience here as the best place to come.
Keep us updated.
I will.
If
it rains, I'll be a ball of crying tears in a corner somewhere.
Even if it's just cloudy.
Yes.
Not just if it rains, if it's just cloudy.
It's going to be, if it's going to do that, I want it to rain.
$2 profit.
The one thing, Laura, if there's some way that we can have a pulse as to, because I know with Gus and even the, you know, the police and State Patrol even to that effect, I mean, some way that we have a pulse as to, you know, I remember the original number you said, well, 30,000 people is a possibility.
If
30,000 people rain down on this county to watch this thing, Gus is going to...
I know.
He's going to lock his doors and go hide under his desk.
I know.
You're right.
I don't know if we're going to know until that day. Okay. Maybe we'll have an indication by the weekend activities, you know. We don't have anybody, I don't think, that's actually reserved a campsite, but there's been some correspondence about campsites, and we're going to start pushing that harder here pretty soon.
As we get closer.
I really wish I could say. It'll be interesting to see what happens when we start doing these PR stories that are going out and see how many more phone calls we receive. So I'm just happy when I get that I'm getting calls every week this far out, and emails, and so.
Thank you much for that.
So anything else? You had another question, and I said ask me now. I can't remember. Anyway.
You have talked to Nebraska Tourism. You're working with them.
Yes, they were on the conference call yesterday. Absolutely. The Tourism Commission is on board. We did talk about some safety issues. The Nebraska Safety Council is already working on this. They're going to have signs along the interstate, you know, that tell people what's going on. And I think part of our story needs to be a really good campaign with the media folks that are here about safety. That if you're driving, pull off to the side of the road, about eye safety, eyeglasses. So we're going to be working hopefully a lot with the media. But even then, people aren't going to know what's going on.
Let's not make it so scary they don't want to come.
We won't, but they have to still, I mean, even if they're watching a partial.
Just make a suggestion.
Yes. Even if they're, most people in the United States will have a partial eclipse, and eye safety is more important during that partial eclipse. Because they won't have any moments where they can take their glasses off and just look. So. But everybody in the United States will have at least a partial eclipse.
Okay. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for reporting.
And aren't we excited about Lisa?
We'd have her introduce herself and everything, but I think everybody on the board is pretty familiar with her. We welcome her very much on board. Very excited to hear the news when she was hired or whatever and stuff. So, and we'll have Lisa back sometime and stuff. So
yeah, she'll be doing these from now on.
Thank you.
Can we talk to her about a couple other things that have nothing to do with tourism?
She does have 6 more years on PNC.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
We're going to...
Since this is their quarterly report, do you want to
put... We need a motion to put this in as a matter of record.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor. Jurgens is left or whatever. We're going to move a little bit around on the agenda again. We have with us. I know the board hasn't even met them. We have a couple of attorneys here with us, Joel Nelson and Joel Bacon. They are the ones that we the county has hired to look into, I guess, the question of each county have no insurance. And they needed to come down and talk to the board today about a few things, and we will go into closed session a little while later here with them. But I'll also visit with them if they couldn't at this time. They're not near done with the process, but at this time, if they couldn't, I guess, kind of give an update here for everybody and make some comments. So, most of our people that come visit us aren't in suits, so I guess most of them could have picked out that you were attorneys. So, yeah, thank you. No.
Probably. Thank you, Chairman.
Introduce yourself. So, yeah.
I'm Joel Nelson. This is Joel Bacon. We're with the Keating O'Gara Law Firm in Lincoln. We do interpretation of insurance policies and other contracts as a regular part of our practices. And we were asked by Chairman Dorn to look into the issue of potential insurance coverage for the Beatrice 6 judgment. Let's just give a little history here. In 2009, when the Beatrice 6 lawsuits were filed, Randy Rittenour, on behalf of the county, and Patrick O'Brien, an attorney at that time for Mr. Smith, did provide notice to multiple insurance companies saying, "We've been sued. Do we have coverage?" We're going to focus today on two entities, NIRMA and EMC Insurance, because we think they most likely would have coverage if anyone did. In 2009, both NIRMA and EMC responded by saying, no, there is no coverage for various reasons. Again, we focused on those two because we think if there is coverage, it would be with them. There are other insurers that had coverage between EMC and NIRMA that we have not specifically looked at. Because we think what we know right now indicates there's little chance of coverage. Our conclusion at this point is that there is a good faith basis for Gage County to ask both NIRMA and EMC to reconsider their denials of coverage, denials both of a defense and of indemnification against judgments. Further, that if NIRMA and EMC continue to deny coverage, based on what we know right now, we believe there's a good faith basis for the county filing a declaratory judgment lawsuit asking a judge to determine whether or not there is coverage. When we talk about coverage, we're talking about two things. The broader duty is to defend the policyholder, pay for an attorney, provide an attorney. The other duty is more narrow, and that is to indemnify, or to pay a judgment, or in theory, to pay something to settle a claim. We don't, at this point, feel comfortable speculating on odds of coverage or potential amounts of coverage if there is coverage. There are a lot of people with a lot at stake, and we just don't think it would be wise, especially in this open session, to speculate. And it would be speculation because this is an extremely complex set of questions we're looking at. There is no guidance from our Nebraska Supreme Court or Court of Appeals on some of the key legal questions. We are talking about a period of time of about 20 years. The convictions of the Beatrice Six were in 1989, and it was not until 2009 that these lawsuits were filed. Typically, when we look at insurance coverage, we are looking at a very limited period of time, and we are looking at perhaps one policy that everybody agrees does or does not apply. Another aspect of the complexity is that we are looking at two entities. EMC, which did have certain insurance policies with the county in 1989, and then NIRMA, which began to provide insurance for the county in 1997 and has continued to do so to the present. With NIRMA, there is a question about retroactive coverage. It is clear from what we've looked at so far that in 1997, someone on behalf of the county expressed a concern about change from previous insurers to NIRMA and whether that could leave any gaps in coverage. Based on what we've seen so far, it appears that NIRMA did provide some retroactive coverage called nose coverage, serving a somewhat similar purpose to tail coverage, which you may have heard of, but instead of extending coverage out into the future at the end of a policy, providing retroactive coverage at the front end of a policy. And the retroactive date for the law enforcement liability coverage with NIRMA appears to have been August 2nd, 1989, during the year when the investigation, prosecutions, convictions of the Beatrice Six occurred. There are different types of coverage involved. There is occurrence-based coverage, which is triggered when a particular type of event happens. There is claims-based coverage, which triggers not when the thing happens, but when the person to whom the thing happened makes a claim. And then again, we have this unusual aspect of coverage where we have an occurrence-based policy, but with what appears to be this retroactive nose coverage going back in time. And we have different levels of insurance. So we are looking at primary levels of insurance and excess levels of insurance. All of that is to say, there are a lot of moving parts, and there are a lot of unanswered questions, questions that we cannot get an answer to by turning to our Nebraska Supreme Court or Court of Appeals. What we do feel comfortable saying at this point is that, based on the information we've seen to date, we think the county has a very legitimate basis for pursuing those questions, hopefully through voluntary discussion with NIRMA and EMC, but if they are not willing to come to the table, then through a declaratory judgment lawsuit. We think the county has a good faith basis for not simply accepting a no. And we'll defer to the board members whether questions will be reserved for the closed session or whether there are any questions that you would like to ask us right now.
I think some of us, I know, have questions that should be in closed session. I appreciate very much your comments, as much as for us as for the people of the county, I guess. I'll make one quick comment, and that is you've been kind of keeping us up to date on your hours and stuff, and I don't know if there's a claim come through yet or not, but whatever. But I know originally you thought 40 hours when Don and I had come up and visited with you, and that's what we'd put out or whatever. The last you've notified us, it's well over 100 hours already. And I think that really points to the fact about how complex an issue this was or is, the insurance coverage for this case in question or whatever. I think it probably why we haven't questioned it before, I guess. I don't know. You can have asked a lot of questions there, but I think it, as you guys have determined, this is a complex, complex case.
I think you probably summed it up there. I don't know if there's much more to add to that. It is, there's, as Joel already mentioned, there's just multiple moving parts, yeah. And multiple things to look at to see where this would end up.
Yeah. So. And at this time, if there aren't any more questions, they requested a closed session with us to visit with a few aspects of this. So we will at this time, because they also have some meetings later here that they need to attend to, we're going to go in at 10:20 on the clock. I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session.
Reference. Will it take, I assume Galen's waiting for the federal aid.
Right.
Urban. Will it take long to get through that? Maybe we get
these guys have, they okay. Informed Don and I that they also have to get back somewhere, so they wanted to be on at 10 o'clock instead of later. So,
gotcha.
And this shouldn't, we'll try not to take too long with it. Well, I know it can't take too long because they need to get out of here. So we will do a closed session at 10:21, but I entertain a motion. Necessary for the protection of the public interest or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. At 10:21 on the clock, and I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
So moved. Motion by Hill, second by Tiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor.
You made the motion?
You want to do the bankruptcy guy?
Yeah, you can use that Set Brothers cup over there.
We're on.
Okay, entertain a motion at 11:51 on the clock to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. Vote. Denny, you
want
to come out of closed session?
I did not change my vote. Somebody next to me.
6-0 in favor. And some of us have to take a 5-minute break, and then we'll get back with the agenda. Sorry, I know you guys have had more than a 5-minute break. I already had my 5-minute break.
Out in that area.
Okay. Back in session, 11:54 on the clock. Back to the agenda. Millard Gustafson and Lori Wallenberg on verifying sheriff's distress warrant report and discuss and approve or disapprove striking personal property taxes.
Hello.
Hello.
We have 5 of them, and you should have a letter from Gus, the distress warrant register, and it would be the 5 that have strike in red beside them. So, do you have any questions?
And what does that mean, that strike in red? What's that mean, that those are the ones that are not collectible?
Correct. Gus has tried for at least 2 years to collect them and has not been successful, so we can strike the taxes. It doesn't mean that they go away. It's just that he does not have to go out and try to collect them.
That's what it means.
Do we want to discuss this one, any?
Where are those? I don't have.
I know everybody had a copy of them, but
they look like this.
Yep.
I'm Lori.
Yep.
Second page from it's on the treasurer's.
My home didn't bring it, but I did look at it. I kind of moved it.
And
what about that warrant number 27? Did you guys talk about that at all anymore? If he's doing business and stuff here in town yet?
No, that's what I didn't know.
That'd be the only. I talked to them a little bit. He on number 27, he had moved to Elkhorn and continued doing business down here still, and had a full time employment in Lincoln. He's now living in Beatrice again, re-upped his kids in school here, and he's still doing business here, but not paying this evidently.
I had let on my note to Lori. I don't know if you got that letter or not. He is working in Lincoln, and I just put a question mark on the right garnishing his wages.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what you...
There is a kind of a discussion on if in 08 he was still in business, or as Schmollett...
Why can't we discuss? I mean, I'm not trying to out anybody. This is public record. This will be submitted.
I didn't know we should say names.
It's public record.
So.
Yeah, it's public record.
You can say the name. It's public record.
Well,
right
I have no reason to hammer anybody.
Yeah.
But if,
is it 26 or 27?
If this, 27. Because if they were not supposed to talk names, then I don't want to go back into another class session.
Right.
Long time.
For a long
time.
And who are you? And who are you?
Patty, you want to be over there in the mic?
I just know that...
Go. Oh, you can sit over there.
I know that we went clear back into 2011, probably, with this.
Which one is this?
I think I got one partial one time,
yeah,
didn't I?
And I'm pretty sure that we did get some partial pay from him. What I recall is that there was an auction and there were tickets that were given at an auction on some of the equipment. And I had asked to have a redone, a re-amended form of personal property schedule back in the... And, I mean, that's been... I know me and you talked about it probably 5 years ago, maybe. So it's just been sitting.
You know, it's a simple process, but you have to go in and do it. And he was relying on you and then criticizing you for the way he did it, or the way it was done. I'm like, no. And just to come in and throw a bunch of auction sheets on the table and go, here.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go through all those and try to figure out what's what. I basically said, and we talked about that, you know. So.
Well, it's their responsibility.
Right.
Okay. It's that simple.
And at one point, I thought there was somebody that was going to amend the schedule for him, like an accountant or something, but that did not happen that I'm aware of. Didn't cross my desk anyway. So
who's out the money then on these distress warrants?
County.
Basically, we're saying we're not going to go after collecting them. That's what we're doing here if we approve these 5 or 6. 6. 7.
5 of them.
So is that the same as just
five
writing them off? They're not gone, but they just are...
Right. They don't actually go away for 15 years. It's just that he doesn't have to try and collect on them.
It bugs me when somebody works for a public entity and then...
So what are you saying, Eric? That one's become more collectible?
That's why I wonder if he lives here again.
Seems like it.
That would just be the one since he lives here. Looking at some of these others, you know, out of business, and I just don't happen to know some of these. That one, just within the last week, I'd heard that he's living here and kids are in school, so I didn't know if...
If he works in Lincoln, obviously that's the way to go with the wage. When most of these people deal with never have wages, you can find them. There, it's a little different story.
You know, and the funny part about this is he may not have that equipment that he listed. It's just we needed it amended to tell us that he did not have it. Does that make sense? I mean...
Yeah, but doesn't he have a period of time to do that?
I've read him letters, and I know...
No, I know. You've gone above and beyond. But what I'm saying is don't come back now after 5-6 years saying, oh, that was sold. And then, I think you're being very courteous to him to allow that to happen. Everybody else has to get theirs done on time.
So I'll entertain a motion to approve striking the five distress warrants so that Gus doesn't have to, or the Sheriff Department doesn't have to keep trying to collect those.
So moved.
Second.
Any more questions? Do you want? Yeah.
Can we try for garnishment on that one still then and see what
happens?
Then
we need that as part of the motion if you want that. But you got to talk.
Is that realistic, Lori, or is that a waste of time?
I've never garnished, so I'd have to.
Is that more time and trouble than what you're going to collect, I guess?
That's what I'm wondering on that amount of money.
Roger, your opinion on that? Is it worth that? Garnish his wages? For what he owes? What do you think?
I don't know how much they owe.
$1,200. Blue Valley Automations owes $7,400.
Are we around anymore?
They're gone. Yeah. So it takes $7,000 off of the almost $9,500, and we're down to $2,000.
Yeah, roughly, otherwise. The unfortunate thing is, without this motion, he's bound... And as a public official, we're bound to collect if it's $25. But I don't know how much more. But we are setting a precedent with that one. And that's, you know, I don't have any problem if you want to do a garnishment on the thing. But you've never done one of those?
No, I haven't. Never had to.
I'm fine. Maybe we start, you know, start the process on that. I don't know. They might find out something gets worked out. And again, if he comes in and does what you've been after him to do for a number of years, then it gets off our books. It's a done deal.
It may be more headache than it's worse.
I guarantee it'll be more headache. But I'm just saying, if this happens again next year to somebody else, you know, are we suddenly saying, we'll just ignore Patty for a while and it'll go away?
Is this a year-after-year thing, or is this from way in the past? And it's just
way in the past.
Yep.
This has happened back in, what did you say, Lori?
2008 taxes is what it's from.
So it hasn't happened since, so it probably is something that...
Right, because on Secretary of State's website it says that it's inactive, the corporation.
I think we're fine with what we're doing if we approve to strike these. And basically what we're doing is that they don't go off the books. They're just not going to be tried to collect by the Sheriff's Department.
Won't go off the books for 15 years.
Right. So everybody understand? Ready to vote? Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for waiting, Lori.
Yep.
I didn't wait at all.
Thanks, Sheriff.
You're welcome.
You got more, though, don't you?
Oh, okay.
No, I'm
thanks.
What are you going to do with all your free time now, Gus?
I don't know.
Start walking the beat? Yeah.
Hey, where are you going?
We're not safe anymore, Gus.
Next on the agenda, entertain a motion to approve or disapprove updating the federal aid urban area boundary maps.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byer, second by Tiemann. Oh, Lytle. Second by Lytle. And, Galen, you want to talk a little bit on it, or otherwise, it was a... Go ahead.
Just a brief thing on it. Last year, Gage County received some maps from NDOR on our
classification, functional classification routes in Gage County, asked us to look them over. If we had any questions or changes wanted made to make them and send the maps back. Also, Beatrice had basically the same thing. The maps were sent to them for their urban boundary limits. The city of Beatrice did return their map with some comments and requests for functional classification changes. They reviewed these changes and they granted the changes that fell underneath the county jurisdiction. And the one that I'm talking about is on the Southwest 32 Road and Sargent Road, where they intersect, going north on that township road. And the change that was made, it was a minor arterial, and they changed it to a major collector to match the city portion, and they call it Route 6105. Well, the concern after I talked with Mark Minnelli about it was whether this would affect any of our funds that we see for our buyback program. So I did call and spoke with a Mark Osborne, who sent this out, and that was my question. I says, by changing this from a minor arterial to a major collector, is this going to affect the funding that we receive? Because the miles used to come up with this, the formula, they use the miles to come up with the what they pay back in this buyout program. And he told me no. So I did request that he send me an email stating such, which he did. And I believe I gave you all a copy of that at Road and Bridge. So that's what this is all about.
Any more questions for Galen or questions? If
these
not.
These are just road classifications, not areas or having to do with zoning or anything. These are just road classifications. Nope. So Beatrice turned in there. So every municipality had an opportunity to turn.
Yes, and request for changes. And this is along their boundary limits. And this boundary limit.
Can they request larger boundary limits?
Well, they'd. I want to say that they probably could, but I think they'd have to annex in some more property. But my understanding, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, and I guess I'm tying this into some of the, whether it be wind or whether it be livestock operations, if there's an opportunity for a municipality to extend and they don't take that opportunity, yet they want to have influence out there, this would have given them an opportunity to extend their boundaries, which then could have pushed for planning and zoning. I'm asking a question.
Beatrice is limited by the extent of what they are allowed to have in their zoning based on ground annexed, and they've been pretty aggressively annexing everything they can. I think to do any more annexation, they almost have to have...
You have to provide public service out that way, so it has to be sewer or water or something out there to be able to... And that's how they were able to...
There'd be substantial...
Or their fire truck goes out there.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just a question because I know that...
Thanks, Roger.
Oh, no.
Just that I don't
okay. I'm kind
sure
of putting you on the spot. I know. I just, as you were going through, I'm thinking, well, here's an opportunity if they want to try and change a boundary or do something, and then they didn't.
Well, Beatrice did have the opportunity to look at their own map on this, so they had their opportunity to look and see if they wanted
But that was my question. Was all the municipalities in Gage County had an opportunity, and you just got feedback from Beatrice?
This letter here just addresses the city of Beatrice.
In Gage County.
In Gage County, so I don't know who's at the bottom.
It says and or in?
The city, as well as the county here, has looked at it. It says revisions approved by the city and county reported to FH38.
Okay.
I don't...
And if I read this line right, this is to update your federal aid for urban and county areas. It's not for some other things like zoning and stuff like that.
Well, you just said something about boundaries, or so I thought.
Yeah.
It followed the edge of the boundary of the city of Beatrice running north towards the airport is what the map showed, the city map showed.
Ready to vote? Vote 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove emergency medical services interlocal agreements with the City of Beatrice, Cortland Rural Fire Board, and Pickrell Rural Fire Board.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. Questions, comments?
I did send out new letters. After discussing with Roger, we had the entire packet, I guess, was new this year, with one word with the S, I think, changed at the end, so that, and how did that read, on the terms. So now the new one will read 1 year terms upon written approval by both parties. So if we want to go forward with this, all we have to do is do the letter, and we can do it for more than 1 year at a time. So that's
these agreements, when you send the signed agreement, a copy of the signed agreement, you send with them four almost pre-filled warrants out so that they send that and they can send that back.
We actually even put the dates on them when they need to be returned to us.
We've done this for how many years?
Three.
Okay.
I don't know how long we've been doing this, yeah.
So we haven't changed any process. Okay.
Vote 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the Library Board of the City of Wymore for services to Gage County residents.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Lytle. Questions?
What?
Matt.
Okay, I do have a question about this, because we try to make these in quarterly payments, correct? And they have, again, to submit warrants to have a payment.
Yes.
And when did we receive the last request for all four quarters? We received that in the last quarter of the last fiscal year, correct?
June.
All four?
All four. So these dollars that they need for operations, we're not getting that request until the last quarter of our fiscal year. It's a statement of fact. Not judging, just saying that's a statement of fact.
You know, I'll make one more comment on that then. You'd think with the issue maybe facing us and the uncertainty about what's going forward, you'd think maybe they'd want to get their money in at the start of the year instead of the end of the year this year.
I think so.
That's just the...
Yep.
We have nothing to know what's going on there. We do not know yet. But, I mean, at the same time, that I'll agree with you.
Yep.
Some of them, there must be a need there, or they wouldn't be wanting the contracts. They wouldn't be wanting the funding. And yet, The claim comes in June for the whole year, and they know they can get paid quarterly.
And the main reason we changed those agreements, I think, was it the first or second year I was chairman of finance committee, was from a cash flow standpoint, is to try and make quarterly payments versus trying to pay everybody would make the request up front. Or then they would do, like, wait at that. So we were making all the payments in the first or the fourth quarter, and we were trying to cash flow that.
Yes.
Well, like I say, we're going to have to look at all those outputs of cash potentially in the future. We need to anyway, but
due to our uncertainty going forward, we may be looking at a lot of things as far as funding and stuff. So more discussion. Vote 6-0 in favor. I think we're done, aren't we? I think we are done. Anything else for the good of the order? Thank you, everybody, for staying so long. At 12:12 on the clock, we'll adjourn the meeting.